everybody doing tonight? My name is Charlie Todd. That is Cody Lundquist.
I just daintily threw my beer can.
We are the hosts of Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable. This is the show where we get really funny comedians, journalists sometimes, politicians sometimes.
Ooh, we have a politician coming up soon.
Our next show is Wednesday, December 18th, and we have, who do we have?
You know, can we explain what our show is first?
Yeah, sure. We are a married couple.
They're like,
couple.
I don't know what this show is, so why would I want to know what the next one is?
And we like drinking beer, and we like talking politics, and we like, we decided to start doing it on stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, everyone is still really full from their Thanksgiving dinner. How was it, guys?
So raise your hand if you had a political debate last night at Thanksgiving. Anybody have family political debate?
Ooh,
all right, two hands.
All right, what was
here
it about?
In the second row.
Donald Trump. Taxes. Oh, okay.
Taxes.
Sure. Do you come from a family of accountants?
They argue the tax code. We have a great show tonight. We have a bunch of writers and comedians who are going to come out here and talk about current events with us.
Yep.
And our next show is on Wednesday, December 18th, right here at this theater at 7:30.
We are also a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah, podcasts. Thank you for liking podcasts.
All of our shows are our podcasts. So if you can't be here for the next show, be sure to subscribe and rate and review and listen to our podcast. But for now, I think we should bring out,
our panel.
Our wonderful panel. If we could have some panel music, please. Woo-hoo! Please welcome, he is a member of the political pranksters, the Good Liars, Jason Selvig.
Show with Trevor Noah, Zubin Parang.
And she is a writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers. Please welcome Allie Horde.
How very manly of you, Jason. Jason just crushed a beer on stage?
I crushed a beer on stage.
For our audience at home, he crushed a beer with his shoe.
It ruins its awesomeness when it sticks to your shoe the rest of the show.
Yeah, it didn't have that coolness factor. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
So welcome, everybody. I'm going to ask you guys the same question that we just asked our audience. Did anybody have any political debates with family members last night? Anybody have any Thanksgiving dinner arguments?
I was on a flight home from the Virgin Islands.
Did you get into an argument with anyone on the plane?
No.
Did you and your wife just really go
we
out about
it
taxes?
Out. We had it out. No, but when I landed in Newark, New Jersey, and there's a store there called America with an exclamation point.
Sure.
And it was shut. And there was a great down on it, and it was closed for business, and it seemed kind of symbolic. So, and I had that thought, and that was the most political thought I had the whole day. It was actually a really great day.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
I felt like this year the toughest question that we had was our 5-year-old asked us if cows or women produce milk.
Four.
Yeah, and I had to explain to him both. Actually,
very political.
Very political. That was the that's the only thing that happened to us. Allie, did you have any political fights? Discussions?
No, you know, my dad was a Republican, but he pretty much is on the same page about Trump. So we really just got along and drank 8 bottles of wine. It was great. Yeah,
lovely.
The two of you?
No. It was like 4 adults, 2 children. The kids didn't really drink much. Yeah.
I feel like my family tends to agree on all the major political stuff. And it feels like families like that tend to have conversations that are very, like, did you read that New York Times article? Like, yeah, man, that's crazy. Did you read that New Yorker article? Yeah, man, that's crazy. Just kind of like a lot of, like, agreeing about the articles we've all read.
This is a humble brag, Zubin.
It's a very, yeah.
We talk about the New York Times.
Yeah, we have a rare lifetime subscription to every magazine that has the word New York in it. So it's very, very elite. Very elite.
I want to talk briefly about the war on Thanksgiving. Trump claimed in a rally on Tuesday.
You can laugh at that. It's funny.
But this is true. Trump claimed in a rally down in Florida on Tuesday that some people want to change the name Thanksgiving. So as far as I can tell, that's some bullshit that he just made up on the spot. But, however, the war on Christmas is real and continues to rage. There was a big New York Times story on Charleston, West Virginia, where the mayor there changed the name of their Christmas parade to the Winter Parade in order to demonstrate that the city is inclusive. And there was so much outrage that it got changed back to Christmas 72 hours later. So what do you guys think about the fictional war on Thanksgiving and the Trump and the sort of exaggerated war on Christmas?
It is the thing I love about listening to Trump speak is trying to reverse engineer what 17 things he's heard that kind of mishmash themselves into what he says. Like, he always going to be like, you know, like, I'm going to, like, we've got to go to Mars because they're trying to kill our babies up there. And it's like, well, all right, so there's some abortion in there. Like, he, someone mentioned, like, you probably watched Mars Attacks late at night.
Wait, did he actually say that? Because he's so crazy, he could have said that.
He is going to say it. He will say it.
You heard it here first.
I think it's whatever he saw on Fox and Friends that morning or whatever ad he saw on the commercial break that he mistook for a news report.
Yeah.
But then, like,
we're taking our catheters away, folks.
It's like a weird feedback loop, because by the next day after his rally in Florida, when he talked about the war on Thanksgiving, Fox and Friends, one of the guys was like, yeah, but that's not really a thing, right? And I was like, you guys put that in his head.
What would the name of Thanksgiving be if it wasn't Thanksgiving?
That's another thing. He kept saying they. Which is like, you know, the general left.
Many people.
Liberals?
Many people are saying.
And then he's like, they want to change the name. He didn't say to what. He didn't say, like, the purpose why. He just said they wanted to change the name because it's like, it's an angering line.
Liberals hate thanking people.
I don't like the name. I think we should change it. And I'm a liberal. So, you know what?
Trump's Jason, right. What do you want to change it to?
Oh, geez. The day before. The day before Black Friday.
Black Friday Eve.
Yeah. Black Friday Eve, yeah.
Good so, call.
I do
good
love
call.
You hadn't thought to the second step.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I change it.
I just know I'm angry.
I'm going to trump this. Oh,
I like, you're like, strong opinion. I will have one.
Yeah. No, I don't have the name. I'm going to have to workshop that with some people, and then we'll get back to you guys.
I want to talk about the war on Christmas briefly, because I think that there should be a war on Christmas, but I think there should be a war on getting the Christ out of Christmas, because that's like... I wish that we could just have a completely secular Christmas, because I like Christmas. I don't believe in God. I haven't believed in God since I was about 14. But I love Christmas. It's fun. The holidays are fun. Lights are fun. We got a Christmas tree today. So I don't want to lose that. And I don't mind saying Merry Christmas. And I don't mind there being a Christmas parade. We just got to get the Christ out of Christmas. What does the panel think? Some smattering applause. Thank you.
Five people. There's some agree with you.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I think tactically, as a soldier in the war on Christmas, I think the way for us to win the war is not to change the name of parades to winter parades, right? It's just to completely make Christmas
about
not
Santa
a secular
and shopping,
holiday. A
and
secular
not about
holiday.
Jesus Christ.
Which it already like 90% is a secular holiday. When someone says, like, we gotta remember Christ, like most atheists who live in Manhattan are like, oh yeah, that's right, it's a religious thing. But so I think that should be our tactic, and I think it's an incorrect tactic to try to take the word Christmas out.
Can I ask, when you say take the Christ out of Christmas? I mean, I obviously the name, but like everything you do on Christmas, save going to church on Christmas Eve, everyone in America is doing nothing religious. The tree is not
exactly
religious. The date is arbitrary. You know, Saint Nick was not a religious man. He was giving, you know, toys to poor kids. It's about a season of giving. Sure, you give gifts to other people. That's, I mean, I was raised that way, and it had nothing to do with Jesus. That's why they came up with the, like, Jesus is the reason for the season, because nobody treated it like it was a religious holiday to begin with, right?
I feel bad for Christians. I'm not Christian, and I celebrate Christmas, and I have nothing... I mean, it was their holiday. If someone came and, like, took my birthday and was like, we want to take the Jubin out of Jubin's birthday, I would be upset about it. So I do feel there should be some recognition that it is the originally their thing.
Maybe part of it is just because my birthday is Christmas Eve, and I'm...
Oh! The real reason comes out.
The real reason for the season.
Is... my 41st birthday.
Whoa.
Coming up December 24. Mark your calendars. No, I don't know. I just feel like...
What are you going to do? I feel like 40 was the big one, right? 41 is...
41. Like, I'm going to watch Star Wars. That's what I'm going to do.
You did talk about it, though. You said, like, as a soldier in the war on Christmas. And I don't know if that's the right tact, because there isn't a war on Christmas.
Right, but
that would make it a holy war.
It's a holy war.
I also like, too, that Charlie is, like, marching in this war that everyone's like, all right. I mean, okay. But Charlie really is interested in getting Christ out of Christmas.
Just call it Moss and really do it.
No, call it Christmas, but just make it secular and make it what it is. We're already 90% there to secular Christmas being what Christmas is.
Also, so Christmas, Jubin, wasn't always, it was like a pagan holiday. It was like everybody celebrated the winter solstice and they just mashed all that shit together.
Exactly.
Was really born on Christmas.
But no one wants to celebrate the part where you go out into the woods and worship the moon as it rises over the solstice, you know?
That sounds delightful with hot chocolate. I do that.
It's freezing outside.
What's the tree about? What's that shit about? That's a German thing, right?
Bringing the tree inside and putting candles on it? Yeah, it had to have been a huge fire hazard for hundreds of years.
Hey,
yeah.
Don't put candles on your tree.
All right, let's switch from Christmas to 2020 presidential debates and candidates, because it feels like one and the same. So does anyone have any thoughts? Did anyone actually watch the last debate?
Let's poll the audience here. Raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot.
That's actually pretty
debate.
Good. I mean, I watched it, and my friend was like, what'd you think? My friend, you know, always checks in to see what political people think. And I was like, I was just kind of bored.
Well, that was the same day as, like, 6 hours of impeachment hearings. Yeah. So if you guys watched both.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
I didn't watch.
Oh, you didn't watch the debate?
Literally my job.
What the hell?
Well, we have these things called writer's assistants that collect all these headlines for us, and they basically give us the prompts to write jokes on. So I just the next morning was reading all the prompts. I'm like, oh, wow, she said that? Okay, I can write a joke about that, you know. So
I just love thinking of this like 22-year-old intern who's watching, writing down all the notes for you, mm-hmm. and then you just come in and make some jokes about it. Wow.
Well, we're paying them.
That's true.
No. It is they do tend to revolve around the exact same themes. I think they shouldn't have them once every month. I think it would be better if they were spontaneous immediately after some breaking news event. So if, for example, like after, say, like an impeachment hearing or, you know, Trump's declared war on Greenland or whatever, then suddenly they're like, okay, debate in 24 hours. Everybody rush together and let's talk about it.
Or maybe topic-based. Like, or, you know, we're going to have a climate forum. Yeah. We're going to talk, you know, because that is some of the exhaustion. Like, this last debate wasn't as much on healthcare, but like the four debates before that were like 15 minutes on healthcare and nitpicking Elizabeth Warren. Is it a tax or not?
The problem with these debates is that Sanders and Warren set the dynamic of it because they're the ones who come out with all these big policy ideas and all the other Democrats have to react to it. So you spend four debates of them just basically arguing Sanders and Warren's the fine points of their plans, and I think like that, it seems to me like that only benefits Sanders and Warren. They're the ones who come off that they have these big bold ideas, and then like Pete Buttigieg is like, no, we're not going to have Medicare for all. We're going to have federal savings accounts guarantees for the top 20% of the 3% bottom that invest in an entrepreneurial program. Which
Joe Biden's like, I'm going to have my eye explode on everyone.
Yeah. Everyone has to find their own thing, and his eye is his thing, you know?
It's his thing.
He's going to ride into the presidency.
I'm just frustrated because I feel like we're at the point of the campaign now where everybody who agrees with each other, which they all do except for Tulsi Gabbard, everyone agrees with each other, and they're trying to find ways to like set themselves apart. So they're just like basically calling the other people monsters for wanting a marginal tax hike rather than a large tax hike or whatever. It's such nitpicking thing, and the fucking world's on fire because Donald Trump is insane, and they're fighting over like the tiniest little thing, and then they're like yelling at each other about it.
But the alternative to that is Cory Booker, who every 5 minutes is like, guys, we've got to come together and love
each
other.
Who did that?
This is actually very,
I like Corey
this
too.
Is very like a microcosm of Cory Booker's actual support. There's one on his
own. I think half his fans are here.
That's amazing.
Well, 1 in 80.
I think it's also just, I mean, it's just a bad format. I think the CNN topic-based forums are so much more substantive because it's just like, you have 1 minute to describe your healthcare policy for 380 million people is insane.
Did you watch that one, though?
I watched like the first few debates.
But the CNN one? Did you watch it?
The forums, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Just quizzing her to see if
it's worth it. Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, Allie, I just assume you didn't watch anything.
Well, if it's not after 6 hours of impeachment hearings that I watched, then yeah, I'll tune in.
So Cody brought up Tulsi. It seems like Tulsi, I couldn't believe she was still on stage this last debate. And I was looking today, there's going to be a debate like December 19th, and she's close to qualifying for that one too. Why is she still around? Who is her constituency? Is
the Republicans?
Russia.
Is she actually like a porn agent?
Clinton. I am 10% her constituency. I like Tulsi a little bit, and I'll tell you why.
Whoa!
Any other Tulsi heads here?
There's gotta be.
I don't know what her followers are called.
We have one person who clapped for Cory Booker. Anyone want to clap for
Someone's
Tulsi Gabbard?
Out there for my ice
no?
cream?
No. Okay.
Huh?
Zero.
Zero.
I think the thing that I like about, I'm only talking about what she just brings up in the debates, is she's the only Democrat who's like very, wants to make a very strong position on foreign policy, being anti-war, anti-regime change, and none of the Democrats have the courage to either challenge that on the merits or engage her at all. A lot of them just kind of ignore her, like she wandered on stage
accidentally. Yeah, but Schumann, she keeps bringing up regime change wars as like a talking point, but she says it about literally every foreign policy thing. When we're not even supporting regime change in certain countries, she's like, I'm anti-regime change wars, I'm anti-regime change wars. It's like become her like...
You're like, we're talking about Finland.
I know, I don't understand what she's saying.
No, she has the one idea that she brings up, but I think it's an important idea, and I do agree with that position that the Democrats need to have a much more strong stance against getting into these endless wars that I think is a popular idea.
Well, that's why Trump won.
Trump won on this idea. He doesn't do it because he doesn't think more than, 6 minutes ahead of whatever he's thinking of. But like when he comes, he has an instinct that's anti-war, and that is his most popular platform when he doesn't strike Iran.
Well, that and hating people of color.
And hating people, sure. It's a smorgasbord of policies you can pick from Donald Trump. But that's a thing that I think Democrats need to take back. And I think when Tulsi Gabbard comes out and says that, and then Kamala Harris just makes a series of ad hominem attacks on her, I think that looks better for Tulsi and worse for Kamala.
Yeah, but she's fighting for her life, Kamala, I mean.
She is.
She'll punch anybody right now. She'll fight the guy who mops up the stage afterwards.
Right. The New York Times article headline on her today was just like, what the fuck is Kamala Harris doing?
Did you read the letter from the staffer who quit? It was just like, this is the worst campaign I've ever been on in my life, and I'm going to leak this letter. And it got published.
It's a shame. I mean, I'm not, she's not my number one choice, but I do think Kamala is somebody who I think could debate Donald Trump better than anybody else on stage. I really think that I can just picture the two of them and her just like cutting through his bullshit. Better than Elizabeth, certainly better than Joe.
I think it has to be Biden because I think he's the one guy.
Wait, whoa.
I'm
not anti-Biden, but I've literally never heard people hoot and holler for Biden.
Well, I was just about to really rag on him, so who did?
We are anybody 2020, anybody else 2020. That's where we stand generally on this
including
panel.
Including Biden.
I have never heard anyone hoot and holler for him. All the way?
Are
Biden,
you,
wow.
Are you from
have you
Delaware?
Watched the debates? Do you ride the Amtrak?
Where are you from? Okay. Well,
wow. Are you being sarcastic? Great.
I'm definitely being sarcastic.
Okay, all right. That was just confusing because you were very sincere, and then it got a cheer, and then we got derailed. Okay, you're being sarcastic. Okay.
That was a setup for
that
my
was
really
the Amtrak
undercut.
Joke. Derailed.
Yeah. No, I wanted to see a debate. I want to see a debate between him and Trump because I think it will go all over the place because Biden is losing it. He's like my grandpa, like visiting him when he was just about to be put into like the lockdown.
Their debate would be pure nonsense. It'd be just pure two old men like losing it, sundowning, like just yelling at
him. No, we have to have the debate at 9 a.m. That's when they're the most.
The early bird special is coming up.
From 2008 and 2004 and the other times he ran for president and when he was vice president. But yeah, I do think like his numbers are so high and I feel like most people who are supporting him have not watched him perform in these debates.
It's like, I'm for Kennedy 1960. If he's running, sure. But when we found out that he was basically raping women, now
I don't want him, you know?
Oh, what?
Kennedy, there's a lot of documents.
Well, have you guys seen...
he wasn't great. We liked him back then.
Have you guys seen The Irishman? Anybody get through that yet?
No.
I've been watching it for 3 days.
It's so long.
Don't spoil it. Don't give me spoilers.
Well...
Is it okay to watch it?
Kennedy's a part of that story, too.
Of course he is. He was yes. a...
He shot Jimmy Hoffa. I'm kidding. What?
I mean, God bless Joe, but he can't answer a question.
Did you just say God bless?
Yeah.
Charlie, I thought it would take
the God out of
I'm sorry.
You're talking about.
You're going to be completely converted by the end of this show.
He sucks you in, he says he's an atheist, and you're all going to be saying God.
I just want to get Christ out of politics.
I didn't want to change the name Christmas, okay? I also want to take the God out of God bless. We can say God bless. It's a nice phrase. It just doesn't need to mean that a magical guy with a beard created the earth.
Mr. Biden, let's get back to the topic. It's healthcare.
But Joe... Joe cannot finish a sentence without rambling or stopping.
I
do love it when he says, I'm going to beat him like a drum. I love it when he says, wow, he really would beat him.
They're sundowning in opposite directions, though. Like, that's why I think the debate would be great, because Joe Biden talks, and as he talks, you can see that he knows he's losing his train of thought, and he tries to get the train going, and that's why he's
stumbling. And then literally says, anyway,
and then Trump seems to chat, begins to realize he's losing his train of thought, and then is like, let's just see where this goes. And that's where we get, like, Space Force from, you know?
In the last debate, Biden said, no man should ever hit a woman. And we have to punch that in the... what did he say? We have to punch it. We have to keep punching that down. We've got to keep punching that goal.
Punch at it.
It was like, does your brain understand that you just said no one should ever hit a woman, and yet you're using punch as
it's just right there, because he's thinking about it.
It's like you're like, we need to freebase new ideas into our drug policy.
Yeah. All right. Everyone was laughing, and he was like, it's true.
All right, we talked about old people. Let's talk about young people. Mayor Pete. I want to talk about Mayor Pete. I have some words for Mayor Pete.
Buttigieg's?
Can you guys do the dance?
Mayor Pete.
What is the dance?
The Mayor Pete dance?
Oh, the Mayor Pete dance.
You gotta do the high hopes dance.
What's the song? What's the band?
Panic at the Disco. At the Disco.
He's a fish fan. Charlie likes him because he's a fish fan.
I'm a fish fan. I don't know if Pete's really a fish fan. He knows a couple songs. anyway, Mayor Pete came out.
I would love it. This is what leads you to vote for Trump over Mayor Pete.
It would.
If
Trump came out and said fucking Harry Hood or whatever bullshit, whatever. Charlie might vote for him. You might vote for him.
Fall tour starts tonight, and I'm going to be in Charleston next weekend. If Trump is there raging with Paige, I might,
Trump's rallies are like a fish song. They just go on forever, and they're all over the board.
He's going to throw his whole marriage and family on the bus.
You know what? They're not like a fish song. Fish plays a different set list every night. Trump says the same damn shit at every rally over and over again.
Okay,
and he plays that fucking Rolling Stones song every single time. Okay, so Mayor Pete has a new ad, and he's like attacking this notion of free college for all because rich people shouldn't be able to get free college. And that's been like a common thing, like, well, you know, should rich people get Medicare? And I just wanted to talk about this because AOC last night had a really great tweet about this, which is, yes, rich people should get free public college if they want it. They probably don't want it. They probably want to go to Harvard and spend 70 grand a year. But if they want it, they should get free public college in the same way that they get free public high school and elementary school, and that we should be investing in our public institutions and public health care and all that. So Pete is for some reason, I guess he's trying to have that centrist lane that Biden is not living up to. So I'm curious what everybody thinks about Mayor Pete. There was also a New York Times article saying that boomers love Mayor Pete, but people his own age don't, because boomers think he's like the nice son that they never had. Because he's like really smart, he believes in God, he's religious, and he went to war. He's in the military. I think it's great that boomers are acceptant of a gay candidate because they didn't like gay people like 15 years ago.
Will and Grace changed their mind.
It feels like that boomers as a generation are trying to make up for not liking Ellen coming out 15 years ago.
So they're overcompensating.
Yeah, maybe if we vote for Mayor Pete, that'll... In the same way, like, voting for Barack Obama makes up for us living in a white neighborhood. Maybe if we do this, that gives us that.
I feel like
like with Mayor Pete, just, you know, it's this drip, drip of skeletons coming out of his closet. And most recently, they announced that his campaign accepted money from Brett Kavanaugh's lawyers. And yeah, that's a bad.
He gave it back, right? He did give it back.
Did he give it back?
Yeah, I think
Brett Kavanaugh's lawyers support Mayor Pete for president.
They have plans and designs on this guy. I don't
Mayor
know.
Mayor Pete likes beer.
Yeah, he does. Likes beer.
He likes beer.
Also, Chasten's picture of him at the Holocaust Memorial. That was like this guy, and I'm like.
Well, wait. Describe that photo. You're talking about his husband.
Chasten Buttigieg took a picture of him at the Holocaust Memorial.
Of Pete.
And it was like Pete turning around looking at him, not even smiling, because it was the Holocaust Memorial. And it was like this cute like caption, like this guy.
No,
like,
you can't.
You can't do that at the Holocaust Memorial.
That was a mistake, but it was a nice photo of him. Like, I could see going through my phone and looking at that photo and being like, oh, yeah, that's my guy.
He should have like green screened it and made it somewhere in...
Not the US Holocaust related. Yeah.
But guys, 10 months from now, if Mayor Pete does win, we're all gonna be doing that fucking Panic at the Disco dance, right?
Oh. I got high hopes on it. Yeah, of course.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on Trump's position on fish. I think I'm pretty sure. I don't know if he's gonna be up for it. I think the thing about the means testing, it seems to me that whenever someone comes out and says we shouldn't have this kind of universal program, let's means test it. That to me always suggest that I don't really want it. I am willing to pitch it as an idea, and then eventually people who are not going to want to have their taxes raised to give poor people anything will kill it.
I think he's just saying that because he wants to gauge public interest on it, and he's hedging his bets, which is he's a moderate, and he's just going to say, like, well, if this flies...
But he didn't start off as a moderate. Like, he didn't
He wrote a paper on Bernie Sanders in college as like his hero,
yes.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, he profiled Bernie Sanders, and I think he saw a lane. He saw Biden was going, you know, wherever he goes in his head, and I think he was like, "This is going to be my lane," because he saw what Bernie and Warren were doing to the left of him, and he just needed to find. And I think, you know, a lot of people are leaning toward a center candidate for one reason or another in the first few primary states. So I think he saw a lane, and he almost did like a harder right turn than expected. But yeah, he used to like worship Bernie Sanders.
I'm also, I've said this a million times on this podcast, but I am so fucking frustrated that the Democrats totally compromise with their principles before we even win. So they go in saying like, oh no, Elizabeth Warren said free college, and I have to come up with a compromise position. So if you go in with the compromise position to the Republicans, you're going to get zero. So, okay, Elizabeth Warren says, free college for all. And you know what? If we bring that to the Congress and we end up with free college for people who make under $100,000, like, okay, great. But why are we starting with free college for poor people and then we end up with nothing, which is what happens. The Democrats always hedge their bets before. We always pretend that we're centrist. Just go in. The fucking Republicans just lie. They just say, free college, best healthcare. Super cheap, whatever, and then we end up with fucking shit. So just say what your pie in the sky is, and if we end up in the middle, great.
Yeah. You're saying lie.
I'm not saying lie. I'm saying this is what I'm gonna fight for.
Okay.
And if I end up in the middle, okay, I did my best. That's what happened with Obamacare. We fought for what we could get, and we ended up with Obamacare. And it's not the best, and we're working on it. But if we had gone in and said, fuck y'all, we're going in for the best, like, the best outcome, whatever. We might have ended up with a public option. We might have.
I think what he's doing, though, and I think what Biden is doing at the same time is, because of the system that we have, the Electoral College, now there's four or five states that are going to determine the election. And there are these voters in the states that are the voters that are up for grabs, and they don't like the word socialism. They don't like it. And that it doesn't resonate with them, and they don't want to be labeled a socialist now and not be able to shake that. Now Trump and Warren, they don't care about that. They're like, say that to us. We don't
you
care.
You mean Bernie and Warren?
I'm sorry, Trump. Yeah. Whoops.
The other old man.
The other old man. But for Mayor Pete, I think he's like, I'm gonna ride this moderate, you know, surfboard. Because I just got back from Virgin Islands, surfing, into the nomination.
Isn't the point of, I don't even understand the idea that rich people are going to get free tuition for their... Isn't the point of being rich that your kid doesn't have to go to college? No. They can just go to, like, Harvard for a semester and then just follow his dream of being addicted to cocaine for the rest of his life? Isn't that, like, isn't that the billionaire's dream?
I mean, that's our dream for our children, right? But...
And you're starting them early, which is really brave.
Yeah. All right, let's...
Shit ton of coke
lessons. Let's talk
can
about...
Can I just say real quick, though, like, we could just cancel an order for 3 Harrier jets for the military and pay for healthcare for half of this country.
Those men right here. This is what I'm talking about, huh?
Well, I'm not saying, like, send them out into the field without protection. I'm saying, like, my brother-in-law works for Boeing, and Jesus Christ, they spend so much money on order. Like, seriously, we don't... And by the way, during training, they crash, like, $100 billion worth of planes a year. So if we just ordered 3 less Harrier jets, so people are like, where are you going to find the money? I'm like, I have an area we could look, and it's defense. Anyway, I'm all about Tulsi now. I just talked myself into it.
Tulsi train.
Get rid of those regime change wars. We'll have money. Let's talk about impeachment. We haven't... Impeachment, the hearings have happened since our last show, so we need to talk about that.
Did anyone watch those?
Yeah.
About the same amount of people that watched the debate. Everyone else was like, guys, I need self-care.
So I guess the Judiciary Committee is going to have hearings next week, and Trump's been invited. I don't know. It seems pretty clear what happened with the Ukraine scandal. Do you guys think it's going to... I guess Trump is going to get impeached. Do you think it's going to matter? What do you think the fallout's going to be?
He'll probably get reelected off it, I guess.
Because of it, you think?
He's not going to get convicted in the Senate. I assume his base will be ramped up about that, because how dare you impeach the president for having the greatest economy of all time. And I think that it'll be motivating more for their base than for the Democratic base, which I think will probably fight a lot about over the moderate liberal wing, and probably at some point the Sanders supporters will split off from whoever the eventual Biden or Buttigieg nominee is, and they're going to have the same problem in 2020. But I thought Trump was going to lose in 2016, so what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, Shubin, I don't find any solace in anything you say, because you laughed and laughed when we were worried about Trump being...
No fucking way.
Boy. We've been friends for a long time, and Shubin really fucked it up in 2016. Shubin, when we were just having beers at our house, like, guys, Hillary's gonna win. It's
fine. I was also, like, very much like, I'm from the South. Southern people are not gonna support Trump. Let me tell you
and
something.
And Charlie was like, I'm from the South too, and you're clearly not from South Carolina.
I think it's gonna come down to, like, 3 factors if impeachment moves the needle. I think, like he was saying, the economy. If anything bad happens in the next year, Trump's gonna bear the brunt of the blame for that. The primaries.
I crossed my fingers.
We have a new primary schedule this year. Bigger states are going earlier, so I think we're actually going to get sort of entangled with, like, the top 4 runners until, like, the end, which is going to be messy, because the top 4 are polling so differently in different states, so it's going to be a little messy with that. And number 3, I think, like, is there going to be an October surprise on a Trump level, where it's like he literally shoot someone in Fifth Avenue, which could happen. Like, anything could happen with this
but
maniac.
But he would still be reelected.
So I think all of those factors will. I don't actually think... I mean, I think what the Democrats are doing is important. It shouldn't matter about reelection chances. It should be like, if the president is a criminal, we should be having these hearings. I don't think he'll be convicted in the Senate. But yeah, I don't know. It's really just how much do the Democrats want to shoot themselves in the foot with the primaries, and how late in the season they battle each other to the point where people stay home like they did last time.
Well, you could argue that having the Democrats battle each other could end up benefiting them in the... because you're gonna have the emotions running high between the 2 factions of the Democratic Party. And then at the end of it, it could be that everyone's going to be pumped, although that didn't happen in 2016, and we lost, and it was miserable. But as far as impeachment goes, I think he's going to get impeached, and I don't know. What? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
But Watergate, the public opinion didn't sway until all the information was already out there. And there is a... It's possible that we could pick off a couple senators. Mitt Romney, maybe.
Mitt Romney, fucking Mitt Romney.
I have a Mitt Romney story. I can't tell it here. I'll tell it to you later. Sorry. Sorry for that. You guys can hear.
The joy I've had from watching that, the entire impeachment process, is the real, like, diehard Trump sycophants seeing them, like, in real time trying to formulate new excuses as the old ones fall. The way they're just like, there's no quid pro quo, and then Trump comes out and says, I did a quid pro quo, and you can see them being like, okay, just hold on. Okay, well, and then seeing that is finding out who exactly has any kind of principles is especially the fact that seeing now, like, people like Jim Jordan and Devin Nunes, who themselves are being discovered to have been tangled up in either the Ukraine scandal or their own, like, underage boy touching scandals. Like,
Jim Jordan is the guy that they're putting up there to ask these questions, and he is embroiled in a scandal where he let children be molested.
Oh, and they added him to the panel.
And they were like,
that's the talent pool they are working with.
Jim's got it. He knows.
I mean, he beat that rap. Like, he should be, like, he's got the game to do it at the Trump level.
I think he would be running from these people under normal circumstances. And here he is with his fucking glasses. It's a whole situation.
I mean, it doesn't matter because the Senate trial is going to be a sham because Trump, I mean, the system is so stupid. Trump is having Republican senators over to the White House and taking them out golfing every day. Can you imagine if you were the criminal who got to bring your jury out golfing? Like, where you're, like, palling around with them? It's just, it's so insane. Of course, they're not going to convict him. And I think, like, we're past the Saturday Night Massacre. We're past, like, Sam Dean, like, becoming a rat in the Watergate. Like, we're past all that. We've had, like, the smoking gun is just a man firing a gun in a courtroom at this point. And American public are like, yeah, but I'm just going to vote for him again because I'm getting what I want with my tax break, even though they aren't. They're being told they are. So, I don't know.
That's true. I mean, the whole Ukraine scandal with, like, the DNC server, which is just, like, total bullshit. And they're on television saying this is real. And now intelligent people have to come out and say, like, no, this is not real. And they go back on television and be like, you know what, we might have been wrong about saying that. But half the public already believes that there was a DNC server in Ukraine.
I mean, that's like Donald
Trump. A server is a physical thing that exists. Yes. Like Donald Trump thinks a server is a fucking chair filled with fiber optics or some shit. I don't know what he thinks.
It's on the boat in the middle of Atlantic with Greta Thunberg right now. Somebody
honestly,
has it.
Yeah. She is that fucking 16-year-old bitch has that fucking server.
He thinks it's a waiter.
So another way that Donald Trump could be removed from office before the election would be if he dies.
Yes.
And I want to bring up...
Easy. This is going to go out there.
So, listen to this. Do not investigate us. None of us want physical harm to come to him from shooting or anything like that.
So
shooting.
Do not.
So they. I bring this up because a week or so ago, Donald Trump mysteriously went to Walter Reed Hospital to have some routine tests that were unannounced and happened very quickly. I'm curious, what do you guys make of that, and what conspiracies can we gin up about that?
They said it was not heart or neurological related, so I'm guessing maybe they had a colostomy bag put on them.
The day he got elected, that I think he was going to die before 4 years because he's such an unhealthy person.
He is going to choke on a fucking chicken wing. And then half the country is going to secede from the Union because they think the fucking FBI killed him as if they wouldn't kill him before he won the election if they had the power to do so. He has caused so much harm to this country. If they could have killed him, they would have killed him. They would have done it. And he is going to die because he eats fucking McDonald's every day or whatever.
Oh, man, we are all getting investigated by the FBI now.
and then it's going to cause a civil war.
Cody, really there's always an old lady who's turning 100, and they're like, how'd you do it? And she's like, I ate bacon every morning, and I drink the grease. Like, maybe Donald Trump is that old lady. Like,
They ate bacon from a pig that their dad slaughtered in a fucking
No, they don't. I've seen these old ladies on these news reports.
Just saying that nobody has lived from, like, literally eating McDonald's since they were a child. I don't think that's true.
I think Trump is either gonna outlive everybody here, or, like,
that'd be kind of funny. You gotta admit, that would be really funny.
That'd be so hilarious.
Definitely,
we all die in a bus crash on the way home tonight.
He's definitely not going to like wither away in a hospital.
Go quietly
he's
in
going
the night.
To like when he dies, he'll like blow up. Like he'll take out the
first suicide bomber president.
It'll be something where like it'll definitely be like it'll take out like two floors of a children's hospital. It'll be some like maximum damage. It'll be carnage everywhere.
And Melania will be standing over the pump, just like, I did it.
I just had the darkest thought that that's like the next 9/11 is like Air Force One.
Like, Trump's wanted to try to fly it to
because they fired everybody that does the security check. And it's just hanging out in
Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes trying to fly the plane.
All right, speaking of people that are about to die, I wanted to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg briefly. Sorry, but it's true.
Actuarially speaking.
Every couple of weeks, it's like, she has a fever, she went to the hospital, she had a fall, she went to the hospital. She's hanging on.
She's at the point where she's having falls.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what,
my grandmother had falls for about a year, and then it was all over. So
she was lovely and old. That's great.
Yeah, as is Ruth. So I'm curious how long she has to live. Like, in order for her to not fuck this up, which she did fuck this up and not retiring 5 years ago.
Yes, by the way, why are there so many documentaries saying she's great? And I agree, she's great, but come on, fucking retire 3 years ago.
No, but then
we were in Death Watch.
The Republicans had the Senate 3 years ago.
Say what?
The Republicans had the Senate 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Not Merrick Garland?
Yeah.
They just held on.
Okay, well, no one at that time knew that Mitch McConnell
was... Hey, guess what? When Obama was first elected, she was in her 80s, 70s. That's a great time to retire when Obama was first elected.
All right, I'm not trying to talk shit about RBG.
Let's get it out, guys. What does everybody have against her?
I think we can all, in hindsight, at least admit she maybe should have retired a while ago.
You guys don't want to see women in positions of authority. Is your problem. You want to retire.
But here's the thing. The question I'm asking is, if she dies tomorrow, we're fucked. Trump's going to nominate somebody.
That's insane.
And Mitch McConnell's going to say it's not an election year or whatever. But if she can make it to January 2, are we okay? Because then it's an election year and the fucking Merrick Garland rule. Or can we not trust Mitch McConnell? Like, at what point next year can she die and we will be able to have abortion in this country in the future?
She cannot die.
She cannot.
Said, haha, the Merrick Garland thing was a fucking joke. I'm 100% going to put up a Supreme Court justice in election year.
So we have to wait until...
She has to die the day before the next Democratic president is inaugurated. That's the quickest she can die.
So a year? We have to wait a year?
If she dies on November 7th or whatever the day is after Election Day, Mitch McConnell's gonna be like, okay, bitches, we got 1 month to get 100%. A new guy in.
Oh, you think it'll be in the lame duck?
100%. I think they have people wait in the wings, ready to go.
You guys ever seen the movie Dave? Dave head over here.
Huge Dave fan of yours.
That's a great movie. I just rewatched it a few months ago.
I think we got a Dave RBG. I think we got a Daver. We got to find somebody who's. I have younger, not, but a heavy smoker or something where they
I have not old. Seen Dave. Is this like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of plot?
Kind of, yeah. Kevin Klein plays a presidential lookalike, and the president falls ill, and they don't want to cede power to the vice president, so they bring in this lookalike to become the president. And Sigourney Weaver, his wife, has no idea that it's not the president because their relationship is sort of on the rocks.
Then
she falls in love with Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have to do all that, but I'm saying we should find somebody that looks like her and put her in the spot so she can die quietly.
I am an actress, and I am prepared to take on the role if the American people so wish it.
I don't think that you would, no offense to you, Cody, but you would be too looking forward to your next job as the time came on, and you'd give it away by trying different accents, by trying different things.
All right, I want to talk about Jason's new book. So Jason is part of a group called The Good Liars, who recently went into Barnes & Noble's and replaced Donald Trump's book, Triggered, with this book.
Called Daddy, Please Love Me.
Which is Daddy, Please Love Me.
Which we all know is the real title of the book.
It's the real title.
So.
This is a really Jason. Great. I love this photo of him after he's clearly killed an elephant or some other.
Which is a real photo that was like.
I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna learn to sit.
On the back, it says, "Daddy, please love me. Everything I do is to try to earn my father's love. Dad, look, I wrote a book for you. Are you proud? Donald Trump Jr."
So to give the context.
Dad, wanna have a catch?
To give the context for this, so Donald Trump Jr. released a book called Triggered, and Jason and his comedy partner, DeFromm, have an excellent group called The Good Liars, where they do political pranks and hoaxes, and you replace the book jacket in actual stores with this Daddy, Please Love Me. So I'm curious... I'm curious what the response has been. I mean, I've seen this everywhere.
It's been positive. No death threats, which is always
that's
good
always good
for our
that's
stuff.
New for you.
It's new for us.
Yeah,
and it was weird. Yeah. That's actually not true. We got a couple death threats, but it was in the comments and it wasn't to our email, so it wasn't as threatening. So that was nice.
How do you have a non-threatening death threat? It's like, maybe I'll kill you.
Yeah, maybe I will. I own a gun. I'm like, okay, well, you didn't say you're going to spill my guts on the street, so that's cool. The response has been positive, and I think it's like you said, it's really what the book was. It feels like everything he does is to get his father's love. He dresses like him on Halloween. That was so sad.
This year?
Last year, he dressed as Donald Trump.
He's like he's superhero single white version. Femaling his own his father.
And then, who was he this year? I can't remember who he was.
His girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle, went as like a witch and a witch hunter, I think. They're making fun of the
right.
Witch hunt.
Hilarious.
I follow everybody on Fox News on Instagram. So
he works for the Daily Show. He has to do it.
In Salem, they like hung all those women for claiming they were witches. That's basically what they did.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
But he actually, even his girlfriend is kind of like being like, Dad, look, I like Fox News and women that look like your wife, Melania,
yeah.
Like she looks exactly like his stepmom. It's weird. The whole thing is weird.
Funny, because apparently he's getting a bit more in his dad's good graces now because Ivanka is falling out of favor. This is a lot of like palace intrigue stuff, but she...
We haven't heard about Ivanka lately.
No.
I mean, Jared just got a new job, which is taking care of the border wall, which he's adding to me.
Because he just kicked ass in the Middle East, so give him a new job.
Like,
yeah.
I could figure out Middle East peace. Let me just figure out how to put this fictitious wall up. Yeah. No big deal.
But wait, what's Ivanka up to? I haven't heard from her lately.
I think she was playing it too precious on both sides, trying to be both like appealing to New York... like upper class liberals and the MAGA crowd, and she could not walk that line. But
so he doesn't want to fuck her anymore, is what you're saying?
I think he's not going to go out of
his
way.
Whoa! Being sexually attracted to your daughter has nothing to do with what she tweets.
Nothing to do with the politics. That's its own thing.
But Don Jr. is just like hardcore going MAGA chud all over the place, going to these rallies. I think Trump is now like, well, that might be the future of my family.
It was interesting because you guys did... I didn't even know Don Jr. wrote a book until I saw on your Instagram your project of Daddy, Please Love Me. But after your project went viral, it was uncovered that the RNC spent over $100,000 on copies of his book so that he was able to reach the New York Times bestseller. So it was really interesting that like that... coincided, we're uncovering that people pay a fuck ton of money to get people
to buy a bestseller.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
Every time you see a dagger next to a book title's name on the New York Times bestseller list, that means it is suspect because it was bought in bulk. Which, for me, that should just be a different list. There should just be a dagger list.
You see a dagger, I see a crucifix.
We gotta get the crucifix out of daggers, guys. Come on. The Federal Election Commission recorded a list of a $94,800 payment identified as donor mementos by the RNC to booksamillion.com. I just want to give the RNC a shout out for shopping at booksamillion.com.
I know that exists.
A lot of people are going to booksamillion.com. But it's sort of this self-fulfilling cycle where they buy all these books and then Don Jr. like tweets like, I'm a bestseller, donate to the RNC, and everybody's scratching each other's backs and idiots are buying this terrible book.
Jason, did you actually read his book?
Yeah, I did. It's actually a pretty good read. No, I'm just kidding.
What? I read the book. 400 pages are just blank? I don't think they ever thought anyone would open it.
Jason, I want to bring up one of your older pranks because it's in the news these days. So a few years back, the Good Liars did a prank where you printed up Chick-fil-A coupons that said, trade your homosexuality for a free chicken sandwich. And then you and DeVrom successfully went to a real Chick-fil-A and gave that coupon and traded in your homosexuality and got, they actually gave you a free chicken sandwich, correct?
Yes.
So I bring it up, one, because it's very funny and you, there's a video on it.
And two, has it been hard for you and DeVrom to not be lovers anymore?
The chicken sandwich was really good.
So, but I'm curious what the panel thinks about the new Chick-fil-A news, which is in the last couple weeks, which is that they've said that they're no longer donating to groups with anti-gay histories like Young Life and the Salvation Army. Now, Cody and I live very close to a Chick-fil-A, and we're vegetarian, so...
It's a daily struggle.
It's
Charlie
a struggle.
Charlie is a southern vegetarian.
Yeah, I wasn't a vegetarian when I grew up. I grew up on Chick-fil-A and...
No. And God.
And God, and then I forsook both. But anyway, can we eat a Chick-fil-A now? Just whether or not we...
Charlie is wanting to know if tomorrow he can go to Chick-fil-A.
No, the answer is no, and I'll tell you why. After we did the trade your homosexuality for a free chicken sandwich... And we created a website called the Chick-fil-A Foundation, and we appeared on a Christian talk show as the Chick-fil-A Foundation.
There's a video of you guys on this Christian talk show. It's very funny.
And gave them the coupons and all that stuff. Chick-fil-A didn't think it was funny.
What?
I know, which is crazy. And they sued us. They sued us.
They actually sued us. Oh, wow.
And we ended up winning the lawsuit. Somebody represented. And it was like an intellectual property thing, which honestly they had pretty good case.
They sued you because you used their. I mean, you had like a cow mascot in this.
You
radio
had to use
appearance.
Like Comic Sans for their logo rather than their actual logo, and you would have won easily.
But we said at that point when we got sued, I'll never eat at Chick-fil-A again. And
I don't care about you. I'm talking about me.
I'm talking about you too, because I consider us friends, and it would be a betrayal of our friendship.
Okay. Right.
And now I consider you guys friends too. And
Charlie, to be fair, I don't think you're allowed to go in the Gap ever again.
I've been banned from one Gap. No, I was banned from the Gap on Fifth Avenue for a prank that I did that we won't get into. It's a long story. Just Google my name and Gap.
Keep the God out of Gap, guys.
But no, I was banned from one location of the Gap, and they closed that location. So I can go to any Gap I want to now.
Good thing is most of your clothes are from the Gap.
Yeah. Jason, I'm going to list off one of your other recent pranks because it's also in the news. So the Good Liars recently put up Subway ads for Crazy Rudy Giuliani. So it was like in the style of like horrible like lawyers that would advertise in the Subway. And I'm just curious what everybody thinks about Rudy, because Rudy has kind of been in the background of all this impeachment stuff over the last couple of weeks. And... is Rudy going to jail?
Yes, Trump, what's going on?
I mean, he says if Trump throws him under the bus, he has an insurance policy. I don't know what the fuck that means, but like, what's going on with Rudy?
I think he's already being investigated for being an agent for foreign states, and I think Trump just said the death knell, which is, I don't know, you'll have to talk to Rudy, which is exactly what he said when they asked him about the hush money payment to Stormy. And he said, I don't know, you have to talk to my lawyer, Michael Cohen, who's currently in jail. So that is the death knell for the person he's going to throw under the bus, in my belief. He's going to start distancing himself. Like, next week he'll be like, I've never met Rudy Giuliani. And I think if like the Southern District of New York is investigating him, and it's becoming a situation where it's like he's prosecuted on a state level and Trump cannot pardon him federally, I think he's just going to end up in jail. And that would be incredibly ironic if, like, the city of New York was the one that brought him.
Also, he worked for the Southern District of New York, right? I mean, he was the president.
Yeah, he's apparently a lawyer. I don't know. He doesn't act like it.
America's mayor, also a lawyer, also a criminal.
It's a very weird fall from respectability, because he was one of the guys who brought the mafia down as a SDNY prosecutor. He was a very big, powerful lawyer, and to the idea that he would run afoul of the... Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I think... I think old Rudy's gonna weasel his way out of this one. I think he knows enough about the law to avoid. I mean, he spent his career.
He just goes on Fox News and says, "Yeah, I did that crime." But
it's also the Sundowner thing. There's a lot of people who know a lot of shit that are also just not at their peak anymore.
Well, there's also a little bit of a too beers in kind of guy, but more of like a two Manhattans.
Yeah, wasn't there like an article recently about when reporters like to talk to Giuliani? It's like 7 p.m., like he's had a couple beers, so he's loose, but not too many beers, so he's drunk. He should come on this show, is my point.
Yeah.
It's very much like right in his wheelhouse.
You should ask him. I wonder if he'd do it.
He might. 100%
do it, yeah.
He might.
But I think it is like kind of sad, I guess. I was never a fan of Rudy Giuliani, really, but just to watch, he really was like somebody who 90% of Americans at one point would have said, like, he is a great guy. That is like that is leadership. Uh-huh. And no, 90%.
Well, 10% of the audience.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't think any of us lived in New York when he was mayor.
I did. I mean, I would have said that on September 12th, but not in like
you
a year.
Saying
not
like
not
in
like three. Not in like October 15th. That would have been like.
But also,
well, seriously, by like October 15th, it was like, I think maybe I need to be mayor for 4 more years, even though like there was an election and Bloomberg had won.
But I think weirdly, like 9/11 boosted rate. Like George W. Bush had excellent ratings. It's like your proximity to disaster absolves you of all of your terrible political sins, and people have like amnesia. Because they just remember the footage of him walking down the street with the smoke cloud in the background, getting shit done that day, and like that's what people remember, you know.
And he got to leave office right afterwards. If he would have stayed for 4 more years, I'm sure he wouldn't. It would have been a disaster for him. But and then he blew it all up. It's very funny to watch him on Fox News. It's funny.
He definitely sounds like a man who believes he's about to be thrown under the bus, and
yeah.
I think that. But I don't know. I feel like he still understands what the limits are of the law that he is. That he's doing, and I think he's covered his ass enough that he's not gonna be the one who goes to prison over something Trump ordered him to do.
But do you think he has more on him than Michael Cohen had on Donald Trump? Because I don't think so. Unless there's like some foreign dealing thing that he hasn't.
I don't think
about.
There's writing of him committing. I don't think he's got a. I don't think you can pin him down for a crime the way you could easily do for Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was not a smart lawyer's lawyer. You know, Michael. I feel like Michael Cohen would have like gotten me a death penalty for like a traffic violation. You know,
you're
like,
talking about Rudy being smart. This man just goes on and says what the crimes are.
If he has an insurance policy,
he just goes on Fox and says these are crimes.
It has to be audio recordings of calls because I think the reason Trump has stayed so clean is because he's so old. He doesn't use text or email. He dictates people to send stuff on his behalf.
And then he can say, "I didn't say it. She wrote it down."
Yeah, there's no paper trail for like Mueller to really follow that directly implicates Trump. You know, we don't know if Trump has like Nixon tapes. You know,
I think he might be a bad president.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna end on that note. Thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Please buy Donald Trump Jr.'s book, Daddy, Please Love Me.
We want to give it up for our panel, Ali Horde, Jubin Prang, and Jason Selvig. Come back to our show on December 18th. Subscribe to our podcast if you can't be here in person. Give us a rating and a review.
Yeah. And please do not forget to vote in
midterm elections. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.